Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here, the first Tuesday evening of the month of January. And just a programming note, we will have three more of these shows, including tonight. So next Tuesday night and the following Tuesday, the coach will join us over the phone lines this evening. And then the next two Tuesday evenings, we'll do a little retrospective on the season. We'll cover games 1 through 8 next Tuesday. We'll use some of the radio broadcasts, some of the highs and lows, kind of narrate our way back through what was 2009. And then, of course, on the final Jack Del Rio Show, which is 2 weeks from this evening, we'll look at the second half of the season. Not quite as much fun, especially the last few weeks, but it is what it is. Jaguars finish with 4 consecutive losses and end the season 7-9. Now, there's a lot of different ways to look at this season, and I went on record last week and on Sunday as saying I thought 7-9 was a successful season. If we had had this discussion, and technically we did, back in August on this program, you know, we're looking at a football team with a lot of new faces, 32 new faces by the time the final roster was shaped, 16 rookies, 10 of whom were major contributors. Last night, just to give you an example, on the Jaguars All-Access program on CBS 47, when Jeff went to the Bowden Eye Associate Smart Board, they were looking at why the Browns were able to gouge the Jaguars in the running game. And they ran for 214 yards. How did that happen? Well, it didn't come up the middle. It came on the ends. It came primarily when Jeremy Navarre and Chris Harrington were on the field. Jeremy Navarre and Chris Harrington. Look, they may turn out to be solid guys in the NFL. One was undrafted. The other was a sixth-round pick by the Arizona Cardinals who was sitting on their practice squad. And when the Browns had great success running the ball, they did so by attacking those two guys. They didn't run up the middle. They didn't do it against Terrence Knighton. He had 5 tackles for loss. They didn't do it against John Henderson, although he wasn't as good as Knighton. They did it against those two young ends. So, look, when you see who was on the field at the end of the season, it's tough to argue with what they were able to achieve. I know, 7-9 doesn't feel good. 4 straight losses doesn't feel good. But when you look at the whole body of work and see the things that they were able to achieve this year, and then keep this in mind. When you talk about identifying players for your future, which is what this year was really about, think about who they found. They found a left tackle. They found a right tackle. They found a dominant defensive tackle that can play either a 4-3 or a 3-4. They found a slot receiver in Mike Thomas who set the Jaguars' rookie receiving record with 48 catches and looks like he could evolve. Hey, maybe he could become the Wes Welker in Jacksonville. They found a Jared Diller. They found a Tyquan Underwood. Hey, Zach Miller, late in the season, really came on. Russell Allen, you know, undrafted. They found players. And when you start listing the things that they achieved this year, long-term, big picture, understanding what this year was about, then I don't think you can say it was anything other than a success. Disappointing the way that it ended? Yeah, sure, the coach will tell you that. You don't want to lose 4 in a row. You want to be in the playoff race. But big picture, what this team is all about, I don't think you can say that the season was not a success. I just don't. And with that, I'm told now that we are joined by head coach Jack Del Rio. And, Coach, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Brian.
Agree with what I just said or disagree?
It was pretty good. Did a pretty good job there.
I just think when you look at the roster from start to finish and start, you know, when this season started, we were talking who's going to be the left tackle, who's going to play next to Big John, what are you going to do at corner opposite Rasheen? Those are questions that appear to have been answered, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of question marks, a lot of holes, a lot of turnover, a lot of fresh faces. I think, you know, there are definitely some positives you can draw out of the season. I think the one negative is that we ended on a slide. I think that's a negative. Okay, now get beyond that. The reality is we've uncovered quite a bit and developed and discovered quite a bit. And I think, you know, we took a very aggressive approach to changing this roster around and hit big with some of the guys that we selected in the draft. We're going to need another strong offseason, and this football team, this franchise, will be back-headed in the right direction.
Yeah, as I was saying, I think before you got on the line, if we had talked about being around 500, either 7-9, 8-8, or even 9-7, I think when you started the season with as many young players as you did, you'd have to agree that that was probably a proper landing space, wouldn't you? Or is that?
If you knew everything that we know now about the number of new faces, the number of rookies contributing, all the things, you'd say yes. You would take that. You'd probably, if you knew all that, you'd label it a little different, but. As a coach, as an organization, we're never gonna concede. I mean, we're gonna go out and fight and hope for something magical. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, now we didn't have anything magical occur. We didn't find our way in the postseason. We're not on some kind of magical run, but we did find some good players. We did see a team that was very committed, that worked extremely hard, a coaching staff that worked extremely hard, So I think there are a lot of positives you can pull out of it.
All right. To address head-on the four-game losing streak, was there any one thing that you came away with when the season ended in Cleveland on Sunday from that four-game stretch that you said had to be better? And we can talk about pass rush. We have all season long. Was there any common theme to those four losses, Coach, that you'll have to address here in the next couple of months as you get back on the field in OTAs?
Yeah, I laid it out there yesterday. Defense. I mean, we've got to get back to the level of defense that I expect to be a part of, that we expect to play here in Jacksonville. We've not played well on the defensive side. It's really been smoke and mirrors for the last probably 3 years. Even the year we went to New England, it was really smoke and mirrors, and we got exposed in that game. And we have not been able to adequately address that. And we're going to need a strong offseason retooling the defensive side as we go forward.
All right, we need to take a quick break. We will return with more with head coach Jack Del Rio. We'll talk about some players in particular, and we'll try to work some calls in while we have the head coach with us. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton joined over the telephone by the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Coach, you know, you can't help but see the irony in this. You know, as we were at Thanksgiving time and your football team was looking at 7-5, you were being mentioned as a candidate for Coach of the Year. I mean, obviously you had some great coaching performances by those two undefeated teams, but Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News, I mean, one of the most noted professional football writers in the country, did a column one day, and he was talking about what you were doing with all the rookies. And then here at the end of December, people were wondering whether you were going to be back in 2010 as the head coach of the Jaguars. Does 25 years in the NFL prepare you for that, or does that even catch you off guard?
No. 25 years definitely prepares you. I think another positive article was actually written. Charlie Casserly wrote one on CBS Sportsline that also mentioned me, and that was dated January 4th. So there are people nationally that understand, you know, what we undertook here in Jacksonville and what the season ended up being about. Again, like I said, we'd never wave a white flag, and I would never do that to my players and coaches. Nor would I ever personally accept anything like that. We're gonna fight and go after each and every ball game and each and every team we play. But I think looking back, I think, you know, we did have a strong year. It was a good year for our staff. We did maximize, you know, what we were able to get out of a bunch of players. And you know, people that are disappointed, that's understandable. You're passionate about your team. You want to see the team win. You want to see them win right now. You know, you want that immediate gratification. And the reality of it is, you know, we had some work to do. We rolled up our sleeves. We've been very busy. We started with purging the roster, making some tough decisions. You know, Fred Taylor, getting more Maurice Drew. How did that work out? Pretty good. Tony Paschos, Brian Williams are a couple high-priced veterans that – and we elected to go young with. We developed some players at positions there. And so, I mean, when you look at some of the things we did, there were aggressive moves to turn over this roster. And so with all that being said, I think the people that really know the business understand that quite a bit has been accomplished.
Coach, let's talk. And I know you have yet to put a final grade on players and their performance for the year in total. But let's just talk about a couple of guys in particular. And really the story going into training camp was your two young rookie offensive tackles, because it became clear that these guys were going to be the starters. And into the regular season, where they became the first pair of rookie starting left and right tackles since Tootie Robbins and Louis Sharp of the St. Louis Cardinals, which tells you it's the early 1980s now. Give a sense of where they started the season and where they finished it in your estimation.
Well, they started as two young, talented players that we feel good about, that we felt good about being able to acquire them in the draft. Went through the rigors of a very demanding camp, very physical camp. And at the end of camp, it was apparent that these two youngsters were coming on quick and really represented our future. And we felt, you know, felt that going forward with them and letting them play right away was the way to go. So I think as you go through the year, I mean, they got baptized under fire with the opening day against the Indianapolis Colts with two Pro Bowl defensive ends going at them. And I think from there they battled all year. I think Evan Britton probably, from a pure competitor standpoint, had a better year. I think Evan has the makeup in terms of the way he goes after people, the way he approaches the week, and the way he's become a professional in a short time in terms of his approach, and I really admire him for that. I think Eugene is a very gifted athlete. He's going to be a very good player. I think the two of them are going to be, you know, really good football players for a long time here at Jacksonville.
When you look at those two guys, what will a year in the off-season conditioning program that you put together last year with Luke Richardson and a year fully involved in your OTAs from the very beginning of when you start that, what will it mean for those guys as they take opening day 2010?
Well, for them and for all of the young players that were able to play this year, they have to understand that was just the beginning. They can't think that, hey, I did pretty good, and then think they can do the same things and net the same results. You know, we need more from them. So they're going to have to build on what they established this year. They're going to have to get stronger. They're going to have to build on the experience that they gained. They're going to have to use that and play better, be smarter, anticipate more, be more trustworthy with your teammates in terms of being somebody that can be dependent on. You know, a rookie mistake, oops, my bad. You don't want to see that in the second year. You need to, you know, there are certain things that are tolerated as a rookie. You almost expect you're going to get some of the mistakes that rookies typically make. You can't have that in year two. So, I mean, the measuring stick's going to go up. The expectations are going to be higher, and the bar is going to be set a lot higher. They're going to have to work to achieve that. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, these two young tackles, along with a lot of these young guys that played, they have to understand that just because they did it a certain way this year and it was good enough, next year, you know, it may not be, and they're going to have to step it up even more.
Now, your offensive line paved the way for a 2,000-yard rushing season. Maurice had 1,391 yards, averaged more than 4 yards a carry. How about your offensive line in total? Where's Vince Monowai as he comes to the end of his first season back after the ACL? How did Wanneri do when you put him in there and made him the full-time starter? And what about Brad, who goes into his 11th season?
Well, I think, you know, working left to right, I think Vinny, the fact that he was able to return to health after the, you know, the really severe knee injury, I think that was a positive. I think, you know, going into next year, being able to work throughout the offseason and training camp, getting the timing down, having Eugene, you know, next to him and them get their timing together so there's not a little doubt here and there, which was a little bit of a problem, you know, this year. I mean, you know, part of an offensive line is getting that cohesiveness. And I think Vinny being there and Eugene being signed in here and having gone through this year, I think that'll be good for that left side. Brad Meester in the middle is a solid veteran guy who, you know, he doesn't have the juice he did of 4 or 5 years ago when he was in the prime of his career. But he is a very savvy veteran, works hard, a very solid team guy, will always do everything he's capable of doing. And I know he'll be challenged. I mean, at some point we're going to want to challenge him, but it's going to take somebody coming in earning a spot to beat him out. And then Uche did a nice job. You know, we really wanted Uchi to start there to start the year. He wasn't able to beat Mo Williams out in camp. As the year progressed, he was able to take that job and wrestle that away from Mo, and you know, he became our starter at right guard, and he's also our backup center. So Uche is a guy that could go either way there, and he's got a promising, you know, career. Done a nice job. He was a former defensive tackle. He's got an aggressive streak in him, and he'll continue to improve as a football player with the experience that he's had. So, you know, all in all, you know, the future is bright for that group. It should be a group that we can count on for many years of increased in protection, a better job in protection, and better running lanes for our running backs.
All right, we've got more to come on the Jack Del Rio Show. When we come back, we'll ask the head coach about Terrence Knighton and the defensive line when the Jack Del Rio Show continues here on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton joined by the head coach, Jack Del Rio. And, Coach, we were talking about the offensive line on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, pass rush was a topic this year. But, boy, watching Terrence Knighton in Cleveland, it was an epiphany. I mean, we're talking about a big, strong man who on Sunday probably played as good a game as he did all year, right?
Yeah, he played very well on Sunday. I think he bounced back. I think New England kind of surprised him a little bit with the tempo and the strength of their unit. I think they got him. He probably had one of his poorer games on a Sunday a week ago, but he bounced back, played very well against Cleveland, and all year really had a good year. I mean, this is a big, strong young man that has a lot of pride. I think he's like Evan Britton. I felt on the offensive line. I think Terrence Knighton is one of the young players that I think we're going to be able to count on for many years. Here is not only a good football player, but as a leader type guy, he's shown some of those qualities. And so long as he remains hungry and committed the way he brought it this year, I think we can count on some real good football out of him for a long time.
What does it say when you've got a rookie defensive tackle, Coach, and you have to shift your scheme and play some more 3-4 principles that you can put him on the nose and not worry about it? You know, he was good for you no matter where you put him, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was. He gives us the ability to do that. Flexibility standpoint, you really couldn't play much 3-4 without a guy like Terrence. That gives us the ability to do that. We kind of morphed into a 3-4 out of necessity when we lost Jeremy Mincy, Reggie Hayward, and even James Weiss not developing the way we anticipated. But really, Reggie Hayward and Jeremy Mincy were two guys we counted on for this season, you know, along with Derek Harvey and with Groves being just a situational guy, by design, who ended up playing more than we really liked. I think when you look at it, you know, Terrence did give us that flexibility to be able to go back and forth in those fronts and going forward, be able to do whichever we decide we want to do because he's capable of doing both.
How well did John Henderson play this year, and how much of it was having a guy like Terrence Knighton next to him?
John played a lot better this year. I think, you know, obviously I challenged him during the spring, established a certain standard of what we expected. He told me he was all in, and throughout the course of this season he showed that by showing up and playing good football for us. So that was great to see. I think that, you know, having a big guy like Terrence next to him is definitely a positive. I think that's probably a little more of a story than a reality. I think Big John's very capable of doing whatever he decides he wants to do, and so I don't know that I agree with the fact that because of somebody else he played that.
Well, I was just going back to, you know, when he and Marcus were there, they were a terrible twosome. It was hard to get two sets of hands on both guys, and I would imagine that, you know, from a playing perspective, to have another guy next to you that can require four hands probably helped him a little bit this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, no doubt.
How about Derek Harvey? Everyone's going to point to the lack of sacks, but I know as the season wore along, Coach Lagerman was looking at the tape saying the guy's playing hard and he's really playing well. Where did he come to, you know, how far did he rise at the end of his second season?
Well, the way I describe him, I think he's a big, rugged, every-down defensive lineman. And, a lot of times, you know, people just want to measure defensive linemen by the number of sacks they get. And that's not a true indicator of their ability to impact the defense. Now, you know, with us being starved for sacks, that's going to remain a story. But I don't think that's an accurate depiction of what he represents for us.
When you look at the numbers of sacks, you know, we talk all the time. I mean, some team could have 56 sacks, but it isn't always the number. It's that impacting the quarterback. And I know you've said on this show, you know, since the very beginning of the season that you were going to impact the quarterback. How far away were you, Coach, from being more impactful? Were you a step? Was it technique? What? How much closer were you than the sacks would make it seem?
Well, you know, we missed a large number of sacks. And I think as you look at our football team, I think in particular early in the year, we had more opportunities and were not able to capitalize and actually finish with sacks. 14 is a ridiculously low number. It's an embarrassingly low number. You know, it can't be any good on defense if that's all you're sacking the quarterback. I think when you're talking about, you know, the overall number not being the biggest determinant, I think that is true, but not if you have that low of a number. I think that low of a number is, it just, you know, screams out the need for improvement. And clearly the one thing we can do as coaches is create one-on-one matchups. You're not going to out-scheme and just design free runners day in and day out in the National Football League. It just doesn't happen. You're going to have to be able to win one-on-one matchups, and we weren't able to win very many of those this year.
Coach, can we get you for one more segment?
You bet.
All right. Head Coach Jack Del Rio joins us for another segment of the Jack Del Rio Show. After this quick timeout, you're listening on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Portion of the Jack Del Rio Show brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, you can stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. Johnstown Center. Brian Sexton back with head coach Jack Del Rio for another segment, and then we'll bring your calls, questions, and comments to the forefront for the final 15 minutes of this show or so. We bring back the head coach, and Coach, I've saved for last the conversation that most people want to have, and that is obviously the quarterback. David had some moments this year where you went, wow. The throw that he made to Maurice against the Colts, stunningly good. There were plays he made with his feet this year. I remember a 31-yard run early in the ball game, maybe the opening drive in Houston, what turned out to be a big road win for your team. And then yet there were some throws, especially late in the season, that people were scratching their head.
Let's not forget the great throw, one of the great throws of the year, was also a good story where Nate Hughes beats the Houston Texans on a deep ball at home in that game that we won, which was really the last big win that we had this season.
It was in the same end zone. It was in the same end zone as he dropped those two against Arizona, which made an even better story.
Yes, it was. I mean, just for him to bounce his way back and back onto the roster and get an opportunity in a big game, and for David to hit him in stride the way he did for a beautiful touchdown, that was also a real positive. And then yes, you were saying a negative part that comes in. Go ahead and ask the question. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, no, that's okay, Coach. What I was going to say was, you know, at the end of the year now, people were pointing and questioning David. You gave him a vote of confidence yesterday. Obviously, you see something. And I think you've said time and again, middle-tier quarterback, but there's another level in him. So the question is, what will it take for you and your staff to get that level out of him? And then what will he have to do to hand that level to his teammates?
Well, you know, as I've said for some time, I think you can't ignore the positives that are going on. I know we aspire to be a championship football team. I know we aspire to have the very best of everything. The reality is, okay, that you don't just, because you have a wish or desire, you don't just go out and Tom Brady's not just walking around and available. What we have is a young player in number of years that he's played, an older player in terms of year.
Coach, you still with us?
Has played some good football. He did complete. I mean, if you look at his numbers, they're actually comparable to guys like guys like that, where he's completing 62% of his passes, where he's throwing for 3,000 yards, where, you know, where his touchdowns to interceptions ratio is in line with some of the better quarterbacks. And I just think that, you know, you get carried away with comparing him with the elite in the league. Because, yeah,
we are having a couple of issues here with the coach and his phone, so I'm going to talk for just a second, and Joe is going to pick up the phone and make sure that we still have our link there. Have a couple more thoughts that we want to share, and obviously have the coach share his perspective on a couple of different guys as we come to the tail end. So Jack is on the phone, but Joe is going to call him back over the course of the last 20 minutes of the show here. Besides getting in a couple of final thoughts from the coach, we are also going to talk about the playoffs, folks, because there are some very interesting games coming up this weekend. And I will share with you two teams that I think are head and shoulders above everyone else. In the AFC, one in the NFC, and it's not the Colts and it's not the Saints. We'll just have to see how that one goes. Let's take a break. We're due for one. We'll take one now. If we can hook up back with the coach, we will do that. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We have been unable to reconnect with head coach Jack Del Rio, though Joe Fortunato continues to try. 355-NFL-1 is our phone number. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, 800-355-NFL-1. If you're outside of our calling area, and that would make the call free to you. A couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with the coach. And look, David is a guy who did some things this season that just boggled my mind. I mentioned the one throw that he made to Maurice Drew where he started left and then scrambled to the right. And then just as it appeared he was going to have to fade out of bounds and throw the ball away, Maurice got free and he just dropped the ball right in his hands. It was a great throw. And then the one I liked even better was third down and 13 in the third quarter that gave the Jaguars the 31-28 lead. Looking from the end zone perspective on the coach's tape, David let fly with the football and was throwing it right to the middle of the crossbars. And when he let go of the ball, Mike Thomas, who caught the ball for the touchdown, wasn't even in the frame. So here's a guy with rare physical skills. And we were talking with him with the coach, and the coach is back with us now. Who the challenge was, coach, the challenge for David is what this offseason to get where he is playing like he did 2 years ago?
Well, I think the challenge for our entire football team is to improve. I think David will improve as we, one, get better around him. I think that's first and foremost. I think defensively we have to do a better job getting the ball back for our offense, being able to play that complementary style of football. I think when you saw glimpses of us doing that, then we played well. I mean, the game against the Colts, the first game against Tennessee, the two games when we beat Houston, the game when we beat the Jets, those are all games where we played good complementary football. We're going to need to do that. I think David Garrard himself, personally, you know, the thing he's doing, we can't have him getting hit and taking so many shots. And part of that is with the line, and I think that'll only improve going forward. And part of that is with David needing to process and make, you know, decisions that allow him to get rid of the ball quicker and not take shots. And when defense is overloaded, take away Maurice in our running game, he's got to be able to make them hurt. And, you know, we saw that as good as anybody's done it in 07. We saw glimpses of it this year. We just need to do it more consistently.
All right, Coach, we just have a couple of minutes left here in this segment. I know you've got a busy evening. Let me just fire a name at you, and you give me the first thing that comes to mind about the particular player. And let's start with Mike Thomas and what he meant to your team this year.
Explosive slot player. I think he's a guy that we know can be a three and, you know, has potential someday to ascend into a two. And he's got speed, and he's very durable. I think he's going to be a good player for us.
How about Derek Cox, who started every game at corner?
Derek is just scratching the surface. You know, I think when he first got here, he was excellent. I thought he had a very solid year. I think he got a little tentative, you know, once he got, picked on a little bit, when teams went after him, targeted him a little bit, you know, some of the better players like Reggie Wayne that he drew assignment against, I thought he played him cautiously. I think he'll only get better. I think he's a good young player that had a solid year. This is one of those young players I'm saying that we've got to get him to go to another level next year.
Let's start with Mike Walker.
Well, great to have Mike, you know, healthy. Great to have him back on the field. We've got to keep Mike Walker, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep him, you know, healthy and on the field, and then he'll be a productive player.
Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes broke out this year. Mercedes is going to be, you know, a really good football player for us. He's becoming a leader. I think when you look at Mercedes and you see the commitment he made in the offseason, that's a young player building on what he had done before and taking it to another level, established himself in the locker room because he was here this offseason and is more of a leader than he ever had been in the previous time here.
Gerald Alexander.
Well, Gerald joined our team this year in a trade and came in and was scrappy and was a hitter in the secondary. You know, we'll see what happens. Gerald was one of the guys that ended up, you know, forging his way into the lineup throughout the season and did some things in terms of striking people that we do covet. Kind of hadn't really seen, you know, he and Anthony Smith are two guys that showed up and went after people. You know, we hadn't seen anybody strike in a secondary like that since Donovan Darius had left.
Rashad Jennings.
One of these young guys needs to build on what he finished, where he finished. I think he's got a lot of talent. He runs hard. He's become more dependable as a blocker. I think when we finished the season, we saw a guy that can be a backup in a full-time capacity, where early in the year, you know, we were hanging a little bit as we were developing this young man into that role.
Zach Miller?
Same thing. I think there's a young player that can be an explosive playmaker at the tight end position. He can be in that Owen Daniels, Dallas Clark mold. Now, whether he ever ascends to that type of player or not will be up to him and what we're able to create for him. But he's got some matchup problem speed that we covet, and he's got legitimate speed at that position.
And finally, and look, you could talk for about this young man for an hour, but Maurice Drew.
Well, he's a champion. I mean, he is. He's a great young man. His teammates, you know, love him in the locker room, love him on the field. He's everything he does is about being the best. I mean, he's ultra competitive, a very proud guy. He's deeply saddened by us not still being in the tournament, which I love. He's what you want. You want to find guys that have that kind of heart and play with that kind of passion. I think, to me, he's the guy that ought to be out in front of this football team. I think he's, you know, the leader of this football team in turn is the face of our franchise, going to represent us in the Pro Bowl. He's a great young man.
All right, two final thoughts then. Did you see Kenny Anderson announce his retirement today?
I did see that. He's a good man, had a long career as a player and a coach, and happy to see that he stepped away to enjoy the rest of his life.
Finally, care to make a Super Bowl prediction?
No.
No.
No, I don't. I don't really care. I look forward to watching it. I think that, you know, I wonder how that whole thing with Indy. I think the top seeds are going to be tough to knock off. I think you've got Indy in San Diego. I think one of them will likely emerge in the AFC. And then in the NFC, I think the two teams in the dome, I think it'll be hard to go in there to those domes and beat them. So I expect some of the favorites to make it all the way.
All right, that's head coach Jack Del Rio. Coach, enjoy a little downtime this week. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, Brian, thanks. I appreciate the year. You were great all year, and I appreciate working with you.
Yeah, it's fun to work with you too, Coach. Have a great night. Tell Linda we said hello.
Okay, thanks, Brian. See ya.
You got it. That's the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. We'll come back and rip through a couple of segments here and put this show to bed. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show again. Next Tuesday, we will take the first half of the season and revisit it, game in and game out, some of the big stories. And then we will take the final eight games two Tuesdays from this evening. So two more Tuesday evenings of Jaguars football for those of you on the network. And, of course, we will stick with Jaguars this week on Wednesdays on News Talk Radio WOKV. We'll be 2 hours this Wednesday and 2 hours next, and then drop back into the one-hour mode on Wednesday the 20th. So two more two-hour editions of that program. Playoffs. Coach did not wager a guess as to who would make the Super Bowl, but I'll tell you who I think is going to make the Super Bowl. I see the San Diego Chargers as the best team in football. I think they're the most complete team in football. I know it would seem like a stretch to have the Chargers knock the Colts out of the playoffs three consecutive years, But look, they got a quarterback playing as well as any in Phillip Rivers. They run the ball really well behind that big offensive line, especially when they get in the red zone. LaDainian Tomlinson just has a nose for the football. I think they've got big targets down the field. You know, Antonio Gates is one of the best pass receivers in the game, whether he's a tight end or a receiver. On defense, they get after the quarterback. Their corners are as good as you'll find. I just think they're a complete team. And I don't see the Colts as being a complete team. It's all Peyton Manning. I know Dallas Clark is outstanding. But they don't play the defense. If they've got a lead, then obviously Freeney and Mathis are going to get off the edge. I just don't like them. I just don't. And Peyton's playoff record is 7-9. Acknowledge his greatness as a passing quarterback, but seriously doubt whether the Colts are the best team in the AFC. Of course, the beautiful part about this in the NFL as opposed to the BCS system is that they get to prove it on the field. So I'll take the Jets this weekend on Saturday at 4:30. I like the Eagles to beat the Cowboys. Even I know you don't like it, Joe. And the Eagles were swept by the Cowboys, including last week. Patriots, obviously, at home. And I like the Cardinals. Although, boy, Aaron Rodgers plays really, really well. But the Cardinals at home, I think, got it. And I'm going to go with Indianapolis and I'm going to go with San Diego and Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Bit of a stretch.
From your lips?
Well, I know you'd love it, Philly Joe. But that's just the way that I see it. My own personal perspective. I've been wrong many times. So we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap up the first of three final Jack Del Rio shows of the season. Again, next week we'll look at the first half of the year, and then on Tuesday the 19th, we'll wrap it up with a look at the final half of the year. And obviously, four of those games aren't a whole lot of fun. Actually, five of the final six games aren't a whole lot of fun, but there were certainly some storylines and one tremendous performance that ended in a loss, but was as fun a football game as I think I've seen in a long time when the Jaguars hosted the Colts here in late December, December the 17th. Joe, turn your microphone.
Yes, Brian, how can I help you?
I just don't know what else to say. Normally at this time, I preview the game. I say, hey,
you got like 40 seconds. So.
Don't forget, coming up Sunday afternoon, Jaguars and so-and-so, whistle-to-whistle coverage. We'll start at 10 a.m. on the network at noon. Oh, don't say that this week.
Not this week.
Yeah.
Could have been.
End of 15 seasons of Jaguars football.
How about that?
You've been here all along since the very beginning. Sometimes it seems like 15 years, I'm sure.
Sometimes it seems like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Now it just seems like 15 seconds. We'll never roll off this clock. As we roll it down, folks.
You're like 10 seconds to the music.
Yeah, I know. It's about to start. Wait. So the Jack Del Rio Show has been brought to you by Joe Fortunato, our executive producer. Every week, he pushes all the right buttons. And don't forget, for those of you listening in Jacksonville, the Catchman is back with us tomorrow for Jaguars This Week, the two-hour edition, which begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. Have a great night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.